The following worship service was recorded live on Sunday, November 10th, 2019, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community worshiping in the tradition of our Wesleyan heritage in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Let us pray. Father, we come into your presence this morning, thankful that we have the right to gather and worship, thankful for our many freedoms, thankful for the men and women who serve and have served to maintain those rights and freedoms. Bless them for their sacrifices that they make and have made on behalf of us all. Help us to remember that freedom to worship and to live in peace and safety comes at a price. Strengthen our resolve as a nation and as a church that it may ever be so. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Psalm 145, 1 through 5 and 11 through 12. I will extol you, my God, on King, and bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your work to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The word of God for the people of God.
I told them in Sunday school this morning, I'm going to share it with you. My seminary professors will have a heart attack, three ducks, and maybe roll over in their grave like a little spinny wheel with what I'm going to do with you this morning. And they know my argument, and it's been my argument, and it's just funny to watch how they'll sometimes melt down. I need to tell you, I'm a snowflake melter, and I like to challenge things and get people into the Word of God and to look there for answers. We are cautioned a lot of times in Christianity, and I know I'm not a big Old Testament preacher. You don't hear me over in the Old Testament a lot, but that don't mean I don't know it's there. It don't mean I don't know what it's there for, but I'm a gospel preacher. I just tell you that all the time. I want to tell people about Jesus every way I can get an angle at him. I want you to see him, and I want you to experience him in your journey and in your life. But I want you to hear this. When we as Christians pick up our Bibles, I want us to put our Jesus glasses on. I want us to read, and it doesn't matter where you find yourself in the Bible, I think it is relevant for us to have our Jesus glasses on. Now, first of all, let's get some things here. God reveals himself to us and to humanity in three ways. Now, I know your fingers are in those pages, so you can maybe write this down later or get this later. But God reveals himself to us in three ways. Number one is called natural revelation. We can see God in creation around us. We can see God at work as plants, as seasons come and go, the beauty of God in a rustling stream or a standing pool. We can see God in the beauty of a flower, right down to the simplest piece and part of it. God reveals himself in creation. I don't care what anybody says. They're trying. It, for me, it's harder to believe a Big Bang theory than it is that God created it. How many of you have ever blown up anything in your life? You can admit it. It's church. It's safe. Yeah. How many of you have ever had anything blow up on you? You know? Raise your hand. Now tell me something. Was that a creative experience? It was. It created a mess. It created a hole. But it didn't put anything back together. Something else. So it takes a lot for me to think about how would you believe this Big Bang theory or nothing, something out of nothing. I'm trying to figure that one out too. You know, I wasn't a great math student, and maybe Jethro Bodine. How many of you remember Jethro Bodine? Nought from nought is nought. You know, zero from zero is zero. I don't care how many X's and Y's they put around it. It still comes out there. So, you know, I can't figure that out. But God created the world around us. And it's whether you want to call it, God created. Call it what you want to. I'm going to call it God did it. God created it. God had a plan. God enacted. God did it. That's the first way God revealed. Second is through his word. His word is an interaction with humanity. It's the beginning of a personal connection with his creation. And that is the word of God. That's the second way. And the third way is what we call a special revelation. And that is in Jesus, his son. In Jesus, his son. Now, it's okay to read your Bible with Jesus in mind. And I don't care where you land in it, even in Psalm. And let me tell you why. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Now, we're not going to camp out in these extra texts, but we're in Genesis chapter 1. God is doing some stuff here, and I want you to notice what's going on. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Now, I'll give you a little extra right here. Wind in Scripture is the representative of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, that wind that is going over that surface. And then God said, let there be light. It began with the Word of God. And God said, let there be light. And then God said, let there be. And it's God said, it's the Word of God that is creating. Remember, that was Revelation 2. The natural order of things is the creation that comes out of the Word. Now run with me over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I hope you thank me for this later, as I hope this I can put some things together that'll put things in order. I've got to do this before I go over to David's Psalm. And if you were in Sunday school or watched it, you'll know where I'm going. In the beginning, don't that sound like Genesis? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Drop down with me to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So put your Jesus glasses on. It's okay. But we got to figure out, where is Jesus in the picture for us? How many of you got that figured out? He's the Word. He's the Son of God. He's the Word. He was in the beginning. So he ascended into heaven. Where is he now? Right hand of God the Father. And he's waiting. He's going to do something a little later on. What's he going to do? He's going to come back to judge the living and the dead. That's what it's going to happen. You can turn to page 881, and you can read about what he's going to do and what all that is if you want to and you have time in the hymnal. Now we find David in Psalm 145, and this is a psalm of David. Now David is the king of Israel. He is God's chosen king of Israel. He was anointed by the prophet Samuel. He is the king. He will be the one to whom God says his kingdom will never end. He is also the fulfillment of God's promise to Jesse, that from Jesse would come the king, and from the root of Jesse the kingdom would never know an end. And Christ is the fulfillment of the kingdom of David that would never end. So David is writing this psalm, and look what he says. I will extol you. I will honor you. I will put you up there. David says, I'm putting you up there. And he's going to say, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to extol you. I'm going to lift you up. For number one, you are my God. The first thing that David says in this psalm is, I'm going to lift you up because you are my God. That implies David's personal relationship with God. That implies David's intimate knowledge of God, his intimate belief in God, and his trust in God. And he's got God, he's lifted him up, and he's exalted him. He says, you are my God. He's first, he's foremost, he is the one. But then he says, and king, and king. So not only does David have God up here worshiping him, this personal relationship, but he also says, you are my king. Now he is the king of Israel. At that time in history, literally, he was the king of the largest nation in the world. It's pre-temple period. Israel, David has had many battles. They've conquered all of the lands of the promised lands. He's made pacts with the other countries. They're cutting trees in Lebanon for the temple. They're hewing stone. The port of Joppa is receiving all of these goods. And he's made alliances through all of the kingdoms. And he's getting all of this stuff. And he's fulfilling this stuff. And he's really going, this is the king of Israel. God would say a man after his own heart. But David had a few flaws. You see, David was human. In the spring, when it was time for kings to go to war, you remember the story. He went up on the rooftop and he looked out over the kingdom and he noticed over in another courtyard this very beautiful woman laying in the sun, Bathsheba, and he sent for her. And she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, his main general. You can read the rest of the story. So you have David, this king of Israel, who lifts up his heart and he says, you are my king. Now that says a lot of different things. Number one, this king is humbling himself and calling God his king. What does it being a king? What does being a king mean? How many of you have ever been a king? How many of you want to be? I don't want to be a king. Because to whom much is given, much is required. It's an awesome responsibility to be a king of a nation. Yes, you have subjects, but you should treat them fairly. And if you're a subject, you must obey the king. Right? You must adhere to what the king has called you to do. You've got to obey the laws and edicts of the king. But in return, the king has a responsibility to you. Right? The king is responsible for protecting you, overseeing you, keeping you from being harassed by outside forces. The king is responsible to keep you healthy and to keep the kingdom at peace. What happens if you disobey the king? Off with your head. So I'm glad we don't have real kings nowadays. Whew, or get chained in a dungeon and left there, or holy smokes. How many of you have ever toured these places? You've missed it, man. You should just go to England and tour some of those castles and go to the dungeons and check out the rack where they strapped you down and stretched you out. They took days to pull you apart, literally limb from limb and joint by joint. How about those sarcophagus-looking things that they put you in? Anybody saw one of them? Yeah. What did it have on the inside, Donna? Cushy, soft bedding? What did it have? It had spikes, didn't it? Yeah, the ones we saw had spikes so that when they closed the lid, you were inside a pincushion. And slowly, they were all designed so that your blood would drain out and they could see that when it stopped, you were done. So you obeyed the king, right? You wanted to be in the king's good favor. I mean, that's just the way it was. You know, and David, guess what? David wanted to be in the favor of God, his king. Because when you're in the favor of the king, what does that mean? You don't experience the rack. And you don't get in the little sarcophagus with spikes in it, the inside-out pin cushion. You know, it's what we experience, right? But you also experience protection. You're allowed to come inside the city walls when the enemy attacks. You're allowed to have soldiers go fight for you who have been trained. Your job may be sowing. Your job may be milk and cheese. Your job may be wheat and farming. You may not be adequately equipped to fight a battle against a foreign military. But as the king brings you in, he'll send out those military people. So it's a covenant, isn't it, between David and God. You are my God. I know you. And you are my king. And I will praise you. I will honor you. I will submit myself to you. We as Christians come to our relationship with God through Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Son of God, right? What's necessary for salvation? This is just a check-in, see if you got this. How are you going to, if you don't know, how will you ever tell somebody how they can become saved? This is what we need to know. This is what I call the basics of Christianity that I'm doing in this message this morning so that we know what we know, so that we can tell them what we know. So what's the first thing? Jesus is the Son of God. Do we believe that? That's where you start, that we believe he is the Son of God. Number two, do we believe he lived, died, and rose again? Yeah. Now if we believe he's the Son of God, believe that he lived, died, and rose again, we have to figure out, why did he die? To forgive us our sins? No. To give us a way to have our sins forgiven. First of all, you got to believe. It isn't blanket wash them all clean salvation. The world wants us to think that everybody's going to go in, and somebody says, well, how can, you've heard me say this before, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? And my question is back to them, how can you choose hell over a loving God? The choice is ours. It's called free will. We have to accept it, we have to believe it, and then we have to live into it, that Jesus is the propitiation, that he is the payment for our sins. John 3:16 makes it plain, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You got to commit, you got to get in. He has to become Savior and Redeemer. What happens then? I'm trying to go fast. What happens then when you believe in Jesus? Oh, my. You're quiet. It must be Methodist. You'll have to appoint a committee to study if we should talk, right? And then the committee needs to study how should we answer and what form should that answer be put in. And then we have to do a petition. We have to let it be resolved and then decide what we're going to, you know, then we got to have a vote. Moses was Methodist. Did you know that? How many of you know the study of the story of Moses? Anybody? Oh, what happened? Moses was nosy, for starters. There was a bush burning, and he went to see why it was burning, and what happened? It spoke to him. What did he do? What would you have done? He just stood there. And what did the bush say? Take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. What did Moses do? He took off his shoes. I mean, let me ask you, if a bush was burning and talking to you and told you to take off your shoes, them things is coming off. I don't want to catch on fire. I don't want to get no, I don't need no suntans or anything like that extra. I don't need that. And then what does that bush do? Come on. He says what? I want you to go set my people free. And what did Moses say? He started making excuses. Right then and there, he started making excuses. I got news for you. When God calls you to something, there's not enough excuses to get you out of it. So you might as well just take your shoes off and get on in there and get on with it, because it's going to happen anyway. All it is delay a game if you don't go when God calls you. Now, Moses don't go. What does he say? I don't talk plain. He said, okay, Aaron's coming. He'll speak for you. Moses said, wait a minute, I killed that guy down in Egypt. And God said, all the people who knew about that, they're dead now. It's okay. And Moses said, Aaron can talk for me. I killed that guy. Wait a minute. I don't know who you are. They won't believe me. So tell me who is sending me. And God gave him the answer. Anybody know what it was? I am. Now, what kind of name is that? How many of us are going to name our kid I am? You ask the kid, I am. You are what? No, I'm talking to you, I am. What do you mean you are? Can you imagine that? That's not a name. That's a description. But he never says what he is. He said, just go tell him. I am. I am the bright and morning star. I'm the fourth person in the furnace. I am. I am Savior and I am Redeemer. I am God, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah. I am the one who is above all other names. I'm the one who David said, you are my God and my King. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that relationship between us and God is brought back together. The sin is wiped away, remembered no more. And we are restored into that once great relationship that God had in the garden before the fall of humanity. Back into that personal relationship. And we receive the final gift of the special revelation, and that is the Holy Spirit. That speaks to the Spirit within us and communes with God even when we don't have words. We are committed, and God is committed to us. We must call upon the Lord, and the Lord will hear our voice. And whatever it is that we may be facing, God will take us through it. And God's love does not know an end. God's love doesn't remember the sins, and there's never a sin so great that the blood of Jesus can't forgive it. It's our relationship with God is restored. Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer. But we praise God in the name of Jesus. We pray to God in the name of Jesus. Jesus came that that relationship, the one that David speaks of, can be ours too. A personal relationship with God. May we know that we can call on the name of the Lord. Amen. With heads bowed for just a minute, eyes closed, our relationship is indeed a personal one, but at the same time, it's a corporate one. For David said, "You are my God," personal relationship, "but you are my King," which implies that you're part of the kingdom of God, part of the family called Christians. But I know that in a number of this size that we come from different places in our journey of faith, different places in our walk, different places. So this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you are struggling in your faith journey, that's the most important journey that you're on, and you would like special prayer in that struggle with your faith journey, slip your hand up and take it right back down. I just want to pray for you this week. Pastor, I'm struggling in other places in my life, not so much with my faith, but with decisions and situations and relationships and all of those things. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I just have some special needs, some people that I love and that I'm concerned about. I don't want to call them by name, but would you just know that I'm praying for them, and would you help me pray for them? You don't need to know their name. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Pastor, I personally need some prayers. Stuff, things, events, uncertainties, brokenness, healing. Would you pray for me this week? Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I've got a lot on my plate, but I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know all of them, but I just want to pray for them. If you'll make that commitment, would you slip your hand up? Amen. Our gracious and loving God, before you all things are known, and nothing is hidden. I would pray that each one of us know you as our God and King, and that we know we have access to you through the shed blood of Jesus, who is the propitiation for our sins and restores our relationship with you. You were the God of David, and you are our God too. You are the King of Kings, and may you be our King as well. And may we know that we are part of the family of God, brothers and sisters, through grace and through Christ, on this journey together. Hear our hearts and prayers as we lift them before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.